That's right, that's right, that's right. Solar Groove is about to be out of here. This is DJ Little Tiger. Just got done with the mix. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. It is just a hair past the hour here of midnight Saturday night. Want to let you know you are listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. And of course, it's 90.1 FM. On behalf of my man, Son, sitting next to me, and Amanda, who's in here in the studio, and the whole Solar Grooves family, we're about to be out of here. Make sure you tune in next week, 9 p.m. to midnight, as we do every Saturday night here at KPFT Houston Pacifica Radio 90.1. Solar Grooves is out of here. Thanks for listening. And keep it locked on the radio. We got more good stuff coming.
BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. Thousands of people in the United States have commemorated the 40th anniversary of the famous I Have a Dream speech by the civil rights leader Martin Luther King. They gathered to hear speeches which were delivered on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, where Dr. King stood in 1963 to address 250,000 people. His son, Martin Luther King III, said his father's speech had been a challenge to America to transform itself. The civil rights activist, the Reverend Al Sharpton, said that 40 years on, the issue of equality had still not been resolved.
This is about who will stand up for the black and the white and the Latino and, yes, the gay and the lesbian and all of those that have been locked out. We've got to unlock the door.
The Democrat politician Jesse Jackson said the 1963 speech and the march which followed to call for jobs and freedom set the pace for human rights struggles around the world. A former Roman Catholic priest in the United States, who became a central figure in the sex abuse scandal which has rocked the church there, has been killed in prison in Massachusetts. John Gagan, a convicted child rapist, is said to have been injured in a fight with another inmate. He was serving a lengthy sentence imposed last year for attacking a boy in the early 1990s. Jane Little reports.
John Gagan was the catalyst for the clergy sexual abuse scandal that has rocked the church in America. He was convicted in January 2002 for molesting a young boy in the first of three criminal cases against him and was sentenced to 9 to 10 years in prison. But in September of last year, the Archdiocese of Boston paid out $10 million to 86 of his victims. And in all, some 150 people have claimed that he sexually abused them as children over a three-decade period. His case shone an uncomfortable spotlight on the Catholic Church leadership, which was shown to have covered up for dozens of priests who were accused of sexual abuse.
A delegation from the American-appointed Governing Council in Iraq is in Cairo for talks with the Egyptian government and the Arab League, both of which have so far refused to recognize the council. Ibrahim Jafari, who holds its rotating presidency, said he and his colleagues would meet the Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Maher and the Secretary of the Arab League, Amr Moussa, on Sunday to discuss Iraq's role in the League following the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. You're listening to the news from the BBC in London. Thousands of pages of classified documents have been released here in Britain as part of the continuing inquiry into the apparent suicide last month of a British government weapons expert, David Kelly. Dr. Kelly was embroiled in a row between the government and the BBC after he emerged as the source of a BBC story alleging the government exaggerated the threat posed by Saddam Hussein. The documents reveal that the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, was involved in discussions which led to the disclosure of Dr. Kelly's name. Jonathan Beale reports.
Most of these documents would not have been put in front of the public for another 30 years, were it not for the inquiry into Dr. David Kelly's death. Many are marked confidential, restricted, or simply not for use. They show the heated debate within government over naming Dr. Kelly as a possible source for the BBC's report that the government transformed intelligence on Iraq. Memos from senior officials show concern about his views on weapons of mass destruction. Evidence that Dr. Kelly gave in private state that he thought it unwise for the government to claim that Iraq could launch its weapons within 45 minutes.
The interim president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, has held the last rally of his campaign before Monday's election. Mr. Kagame is a Tutsi who's effectively run his country since the ethnic genocide of 1994, in which up to 1 million people, mainly Tutsis, died. Mr. Kagame is the firm favourite to win. His main challenger, Faustin Twagaramungu, who's a former Hutu prime minister, complained that he wasn't allowed to hold meetings on Saturday. The Kenyan president, Mwai Kibaki, has declared 2 weeks of national mourning following the death in London of his deputy, Michael Kijana Wamalwa. Vice President Wamalwa died in the Royal Free Hospital, where he'd been undergoing treatment for acute pancreatitis. A hospital statement said he'd initially made progress, but had suffered a fatal heart attack on Saturday. President Kibaki has led the tributes, calling Mr. Wamalwa a patriot and a man who'd served his country with distinction. Around 1.5 million people are expected to take part in the Notting Hill Carnival in London, which begins later today. The carnival, which originated 40 years ago as a gathering of London's Caribbean community, has become Europe's biggest street party. BBC News.
The following program contains language or images of a frank or sensitive nature, which may be considered objectionable by some. Listener discretion is advised. Yes, you've tuned in to After Hours, queer radio with attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, dialogue, and music geared for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people and their friends. Here at After Hours, we may be diverse, but we have one thing in common. We are all out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of their closets. That means standing up for yourself, taking responsibility for your own life, and being proud of who you are. Realistically, we know not everyone can do that because of age, job, or frame of mind. That's okay. We're here for you too. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston and College Station and Galveston and the world, and welcome to the Saturday, August 23rd edition of After Hours. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your producer for the evening. Sitting next to me
is Chris.
And behind him,
the pirate just came in.
Hello.
The blue-haired Bobby is here tonight. And we Thank you. Seattle was great. We've got a packed show tonight because at 12:15 Gigi is calling in from San Diego, where the 14th annual bisexual conference is going on. We're doing a live from there for about 2 hours, and we're going to be talking to all of the biggies in the bisexual community. I mean, we're talking about people who have been instructing and teaching and writing books and lecturing for years now on the subject.
The whole gamut there. It's a star-studded affair.
It is indeed.
Live from the playpen?
Yes. No, that's going to come after the interview.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, I was just checking. I mean, we had the meeting. I just had to make sure we weren't going to be covering those topics.
Yes, exactly. I do want to say, and I should do this at the beginning of every show, that you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and you can write us at After Hours, KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, 77006. If you want to give us a call here, Big Roy will be coming in any moment. And it's his birthday!
Oh, my goddess. They let
That's
him
right.
get another year older?
39 again.
Yeah, the old fag is 53.
What's that in human years?
Oh, my. And where was I?
God's going to get you.
Yes. Jackie Thornton is here. Let's see.
And if you want to send us email, we have a brand...
Wait. I'm getting to that.
I thought you were finished with the snail mail address.
I didn't. The snail mail and the phone number, 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. And this is something that Chris wrote up, and he fixed up our fabulous, fabulous logo because of our new time slot. It's got a story idea for... Maybe you should read this since you wrote it.
Didn't they used to have that circular thing on, like...
Yes.
What was, name that tune or something like that?
Something like
that. That was back in the 60s. I don't remember that.
Watch it.
Let me slap him real hard.
I don't remember the 60s either. I was only two when they ended.
Well, Jimmy, you remember the 60s, don't you?
What?
If you have a story idea for After Hours, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
Promos. Heck, you can even send us your old viruses.
What?
Oh, trust me, there's enough of them out there running
That's
around
right.
now.
That's right.
Well, we have a brand new email address for you to send it to.
Ta-da!
It is afterhours@kpft.org. We are now legit.
We're legit.
You better repeat that for the conservative Christian right wing, because they're a little slow.
It's a little.
Afterhours, all one word, at kpft.org.
Great.
And also, it is official now. Hopefully, they've got us now. If you happen to miss the show or you can't stay up till 4 a.m., we are being archived online.
Ta-da!
You can check us out at kpftarchive.org.
Yeah.
And this is starting with last week's show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from now on, we will be on there. So
now, they're not going to be keeping every single show.
Yeah.
Are they? I thought they were just going to keep them.
Yeah, they're going to archive every show from now on.
I thought they were just going to keep them for about a month, and then...
No, well, what they do is there's the active list for this month, and then they take and they archive that to another section if you want to go back a month, from what I've seen.
Oh!
So as far as I know, it's an MP3 file, it's easy to download, it gives you something to do with Napster since you can't do anything else with it. So, it's a new email, a new archive, a new time, same old attitude.
I see. Yes, it certainly is.
It certainly is.
And lots of it, I'll tell you. Stuff
hello.
Coming up.
And hello to whoever we know out there who we love dearly.
We love all our MBBs.
Yes.
We do. I got a couple of letters this week from Jaime and from Wilson.
And did you bring in the gift from Smiley? Did you leave it at home?
Oh, I left it at home. Oh, Smiley, I'm sorry. We got that at the meeting on Wednesday.
A very beautiful bit of artwork.
Well, you see, I'll bring it in next week or the week after, because that's our anniversary in 2 weeks.
And that's what it was about.
It's September 6th.
Yeah, our sweet 16 and never been...
16.
Never.
What have
Chris,
we never been?
Artwork does not work well on the radio.
I'm pretty sure, Jackie, that it's going to wind up over at GCAM.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. Okay, let's get to it. Some things I want to talk about before Gigi calls in, but she may have already. I see there's somebody blinking there. The place to be tomorrow is at...
Brazosphere Bottom.
That's exactly right. For Live 2003.
Live 2003.
A Gospel Jubilee.
Dedicated to Don Dowden.
Yes. This is a Don Gill production.
Mm-hmm.
And you know his shows are fabulous. And, of course, it's benefiting the Montrose Clinic. That's at 7 p.m. There's going to be, all kinds of live entertainment. Well, it's all live. That's the whole idea.
Mm-hmm. That's
all
the whole idea behind it. You know, it is dedicated to Don Dowden, who has serious medical problems. But, you know, Don has been a pillar of our community as far as fundraising and stuff like that. And if there is, you know, if you have not met Don Dowden, that's your loss. He is a magnificent man. And, this is an opportunity to honor him. So please, please come out for this show tomorrow night. BRB. What time is that going to start? Chris, somebody? Okay. What? Okay. All right. They're telling me to stretch. Because
and boy, that girl can do that.
What time is that?
That's at 7 p.m.
7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 it's
PM.
Not at the usual 8 o'clock. And trust me, 7 o'clock, the first person will hit the stage at 7 o'clock. It's not drag queen time.
No, you've got to
be there early.
Not with the Don Gill production.
Yeah.
Something else going on tomorrow. The Sundance Cattle Company is proud to present the Big Ruby Award. That's their 23rd anniversary show and awards ceremonies. That's at Mary's Naturally, and that's at 5 p.m. So you can go there and participate in that, and then run over to the BRB and do all of that. And now, this for Court Report, we've got Safonda's Birthday Bash Weekend.
Yeah.
That's coming up next week.
Everything next weekend is going to be down in Galveston at the Boulevard Saloon.
Yes.
It's going to be Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. There are going to be male dancers there. There's going to be performers from out of town who have come in for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be a fabulous, fabulous weekend. I don't have my cell phone here with me. I'm having a blonde moment with a brunette wig.
No, what do you need?
But I will get the court hotline number to Jimmy before I get away from here. And you can call and get details. But it is down
it's a Boulevard Saloon.
31st and Seawall.
That's right. That's right.
The entire weekend. Saturday, Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's right.
And then Monday, they're talking about possibly having a barbecue, so forth like that. But it'll be a real informal type thing also for Labor Day itself.
Nice. So Fonda is such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And she deserves a great birthday.
It's her 49th birthday.
Ouch! I know it's the 30th. Ooh, ouch! And she doesn't even look. She does not look 30. Not even close.
A few other things also that are coming up in the future. Now there is a show here in Houston on the 6th, which is a Saturday. On the 13th at Club Calypso, James Fulton, JJ, who is Mr. Cinco de Mayo as well as Mr. Honeybee, is having a show there. This is benefiting Globo, which is the gay, lesbian, Latino organization. Please, it's on, 6805 Long Point, up in the Spring Branch area. It will be a fabulous show. We have got people that have promised to come in for this thing, so please. It'll be on the court hotline because it is a court show.
Okay.
In addition to that, on the 13th, unfortunately, I will not be there because I'll be down in Galveston with the Gulf Coast Transgender Community for our annual Galveston Beach Party.
Oh, yes.
But the other thing also that I wanted to throw in here is Houston Area Bears, the last Saturday in September, is having their anniversary. And they're going to have a dinner and awards show out at Brady's Landing. And then they will come from there into Mary's for everything else that evening. And I will be dealing blackjack and so forth. So we've got a full schedule ahead of us. It's all yours, Jimmy.
Okay.
4191.
Okay. A couple more things before we get Gigi on the line is that, and I'd already turned it over.
Turned who over?
So if you're not going to Galveston, you can't make it to Galveston, you know, because you may have a show on KPFT late Friday nights too, and you can't get to Galveston on Friday night, you should be over at 1415 Bar and Grill. That's 1415 California for the Deck Show with Nancy Ford.
Mm-hmm.
That's every Friday night, 8 p.m. until she's over it.
Nancy is fabulous.
Yes, she is. Sweet Mama Cotton is back. She's been on a mini tour, and she's back and will be playing back back at the Briar Patch for her regular Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening shows. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 to 9, and Wednesday from 9:30 to 11:30. So that's...
Yeah, but you know, she's also got some stuff down in Galveston,
oh, yeah,
too.
She does. I don't have that information with me, but she does.
Okay, well,
she does
I know that one of her gigs down there in Galveston is at Hollywood, and that's only for the people that are in the hotel.
That's right.
But she's also at one of the clubs or restaurants down there.
Yes, she is.
And if again, if you've not seen Marcy, she is great.
She really is. She really is. Janky, thank you. We've got Gigi on the line, and we need to get with the bisexual conference. Let's go. Gigi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Lovely. How are you doing, dear? Hello. Hello.
We're trying to work on the speakerphone.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't seem to be coming through clear. Let me try it one more time.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We now have her on the phone.
Sure.
Gigi from Binet, and this is the 14th annual bisexual conference held in San Diego this year. Hello.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, great. Oh, great. So, tell me all about it. You've been there for a few days.
Oh, yes. It has been fabulous.
And what has been going on, and who do you have there?
Right now, we've got Reverend Sharla Sky Spirit Shotwell, Deanna Love, Liz Lipman Stern, Reverend Peacemaker, and Tom Running Bear.
Great.
And we're going to be talking, our first topic's going to be on polyamory.
Okay.
But before we go into that, I wanted to just say that we're having a wonderful conference. We had we got here a day early for the pre-conference track, and it was awesome.
Now, Chris is here with me, and he's going to be sharing some of the duties here.
Oh, great.
Okay.
That'll work. So I kind of want to kick off and have our topic facilitator kind of explain polyamory and where she wanted to go with it.
Hi, my name is Deanna Love, and I'm talking about polyamory tonight. And for those of that don't know what that term still means, it means to be able to love more than one. What's really nice about this conference that we've come to here is quite a few people that are polyamorous do identify also being bisexuals. Not that it's a prerequisite, but it is sometimes a choice that we've made because we do fall in love with more than one person. And I've gotten a panel of people that have chosen polyamory as a lifestyle. We wanted to talk about maybe how this works in different people's lives and questions it brings up in society, because it's really hard to label people for when they're polyamorous, that we don't fit into people's categories of what they have in existence. So I have a couple different other people here that are polyamorous. In my lifestyle, I have two permanent partners. Both of them are male, and then I also have various girlfriends that are not permanent partners in my life. So I do have an open marriage. And I have Liz here, and she's polyamorous. And can you explain a little bit of what your lifestyle is?
Sure. I live with my husband, and we've been together 27 years. And I also have a partner my husband's my primary partner, what I call my primary partner. We live together and we have children together. And I have another partner with whom I don't live. We've been together 2.5 years. And he and my husband are friends and know each other. And my husband has another lover. And they've been together about a year. And the thing about polyamory is it's all open, it's honest. And I'm not saying that there aren't problems or conflicts or whatever, but we work them through and we talk about them, and that's one of the joys of it.
Great. And we also have
Thomas. And Thomas, can you explain a little bit about your relationship?
My name's Tom Running Bear. I've been in a triad relationship for over 20 years. Unfortunately, I am the sole surviving member now. We did manage to raise two very beautiful 18-year-old girls. And right now, I'm just kind of floating.
Great. That's wonderful. And Peacemaker, Reverend Peacemaker, what is your polyamory relationship?
I am in a polyamorous group of five, three women and two men. We are out of Houston, Texas, and have been together, myself and the two men, for 3 years, and then the other two women joined us in the next 2 years. And we are a very happy group.
That's great. That's great to hear. And then I also have Sharla. Sharla, will you tell me a little bit about your polyamorous relationship?
Sure. Mine's a little bit different and somewhat unique in that I've had ongoing committed, we're going to be at least friends and hopefully lovers for a lifetime. And a few years down the road, I fell in love and decided to marry someone else. So this brought up some new issues, but we worked through them. And it was an agreement that I could keep this other person in my life when we became a couple. And that we're in an open polyamorous relationship. I also, somewhat similar to the facilitator, have some women friends around the country. And I think my situation is also a bit easier in that, unfortunately and fortunately, I don't like to use this term primary and secondary, but my other lover is in Dallas and we're in Northern California. So it works out well and we miss each other immensely.
That's great. I think the main reason for a lot of people getting into this relationship is that they can explore their feelings for others while still being in a very committed relationship. And that's what I seem to see every time I talk to people in polyamory, is they just have this immense freedom to enjoy growing and learning as it goes.
Well, Deanna, I want to kind of ask a question.
Sure.
Does polyamory kind of vary in flavor with bisexuals as opposed to other sexual orientations?
Yeah, it's a whole new meeting. Very often, because I don't have come from an area that has a higher population of bisexuals, it tends to be this person with this person. It's kind of like a rope in between a bunch of different people that tie them together. Where I really found with bisexuals, you tend to have more loving relationships between all the different pieces. Mm-hmm. And so it really tends to bind the relationship differently.
I think partly the bi community bonds so tightly, especially at the conferences.
I really wish that I could see more bi groups getting together. It's really a shame that more of bisexuals don't come out of the closet to allow communities to form, because unfortunately, I think that's really lacking in a lot of communities.
What about some of the other panelists? Any thoughts on
My name's Tom Rembert again. I was in a triad where one of my partners was a heterosexual female, and the other one was a homosexual male. And at first, you want to talk about some tension? You know, but it worked out, you know. And Kim and Mike grew to the point where, you know, even though they were not sexually active with each other, they did love each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? That's great.
And one thing I learned is that, you know, if you truly love somebody, it'll work out.
I'm really struck by the variations of polyamory that we have as examples here tonight.
Yeah.
I have one more example for you. Several years ago, I wrote an article for the Boston Bi Women's Newsletter on the bisexual polyamorous single female. And people in the workshop today discussed, can you be single and polyamorous? And I just want to touch on that a minute. The answer is yes, and polyamory includes emotional, physical, sexual, connected beings. And also, in my situation at that time, I was seeing three people, but I was seeing the same three people for a period of years. And so I think that kind of adds to the flavor a little bit. Yes, you can be single and identify as polyamorous. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to say that, you know, one thing that's been coming out of this conference in particular, but in all the conferences, is that there's a lot of diversity even within the bi community. And so what is a bisexual? Well, you can get many, many definitions depending on who you talk to at the conferences. Reverend Peacemaker, what do you have to say?
As the conversation went on, I had some thoughts that hit me, and I wanted to talk about the misconceptions about polyamory. First, that most people in polyamorous relationships are bisexual. This is true by and large in my experience, but not all over the country or all over the world. I have spoken to people, poly groups on the internet. Not everybody in a bisexual relationship has to be polyamorous, and it can still work. The key is communication, 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 people. Another misconception is that if you are in a poly relationship, you have sex with anything that moves. This is not true. We have polyfidelity or polymonogamy. You can be a group of five and only have sex with those people. My group was like that for a while. We have moved into an open relationship and now have what is commonly referred to as a condom compact. We have unprotected sex with each other and absolutely, other than tongue kissing with someone, no fluid exchange with anyone outside the family for any kind of sex, including oral sex. Gigi will educate you about saran wrap someday, perhaps.
Well, we already have.
Oh, yes, many, many times.
Mind honesty, that it is the basis of polyamory, communication and honesty, mm-hmm. and that we don't have sex with everything that moves.
Well, we're coming to the end of this segment. Any last words, Deanna?
I would encourage anybody that's interested in polyamory. There's several really good books that they can take a look at. The Ethical Slut is always my favorite. Also, get on the internet. You're going to find some groups or organizations nearby you and get more information. It's a great way of life.
Oh, well, thanks. Jimmy, can we go to music?
We sure can. As I pull down the volume for your end, then I'm just going to talk a little bit first about an event I went to this evening earlier for the ICOH, the Space City Empire, was the Prince and Princess Ball tonight. And not only was it honoring the Imperial Prince Royal, Keith Vivial, but there was an announcement right at the end of the new Emperor and Empress elect for the Space City Empire, and it is the Empress elect is Jessica Van Shelton, and the Emperor elect is Keith Vivial, and I congratulate both of those folks. They take their office in 42 days, which is an event called Enthronement, which is happening October the 4th. And this is going to be a big blowout affair. Lots of glitz, lots of glamour. So we'll be keeping you updated on that.
Locations and time.
Yes, all of that kind of stuff.
Tickets and all the other
and tickets.
Stuff.
That's right. Oh, it's a terrific deal. It's like $40 or $50 for reserved, but for $40 you get dinner and 4 hours of open bar. Hello.
Where's all of that?
That's right. That's right. So I'll be bringing you more details. I'm going to go to a special piece of music for the 14th annual bisexual bisexual conference going on right now in San Diego. This is by the Gay Men's Chorus of San Diego, and this is a kind of a standard. Old. It's called from their CD, Our Own Kind of Music. It's. You old-timers will remember this. So I don't probably need to say anything about it. And we'll be right back.
Standing on the corner, watching all the boys go by. Watching all the boys go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the boys go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I, neither do I. Then standing on the corner, watching all the boys, watching all the boys.
The Gay Men's Chorus of San Diego with Standing on the Corner. You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, and 89.5 in Galveston. The show is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. And we are live at the 14th Annual North American Conference on Bisexuality. And Gigi's there.
Yes. And we've been really having quite a time. I mean, when I first got here, my first day and a half was spent in the erotic touch workshop.
Okay. Nice.
It was quite a good way to kick off the conference, I can tell you. Our next topic, speaker is Reverend Sharla Skyspirit again, Shotwell, and she's going to be talking. I'm going to let her introduce it. It's a little hard to read her writing.
I facilitated the workshop here at the conference on personal and spiritual growth through bisexual and political interest activism. And what I'd like to do is just take a second and read a few questions and then have the panel members respond a bit. And the topic is same-sex marriage versus domestic partnership and how the issue specifically relates to bisexual, polyamorous, and transgendered people. How would you handle this in a way that benefits all people seeking happiness and the same rights as other human beings? What happens when bisexuals fall in love with a member of the same sex and want to marry? Should we pass domestic partnership laws or legalize same-sex marriage? Bisexuals can marry as opposite-sex couples, but what if a polyamorous household wants legalized marriage? How does the same-sex marriage law neglect polyamorous people? And what legal actions would you take to try and change laws accordingly, or do we even want to change the laws? Why is gay adoption legal, yet gay marriage illegal in so many states? And can this be used in an effort to gain legalization of same-sex or domestic partnership laws, or will it hamper laws regarding gay adoption?
Wow, that's a tall order.
It is. Wow, those are a lot of different areas to come up with. But yeah. I can say that on the marriage versus domestic partnerships, I think that a lot of people would rather be able to get married. But I'm not just only speaking really from people I know myself. There might be others that would fully don't believe in marriage. I actually sat next to one this afternoon. I was like, no marriage. But that we can legalize in some ways to handle children and handle property. I know from a polyamorous standpoint, that's always the hardest part, is that I do have children, and how do we have more than one person as their parent? You know, they'll allow two people, but when you get to the third or fourth, it gets a little fuzzy and gray. And so it takes a lot of extra effort. So, yeah, it does seem to me that we need some legal way to justify and honor these relationships. What do you think, Marshall?
Well, I believe that there's a general issue around partnerships plus and legal status in an unmarried union that are more general, that even exist in the heterosexual community. For example, if a couple, even a heterosexual couple, decides not to marry, besides all the property issues, there are issues of powers of attorney around medical care. There are issues around being able to see the person in the hospital. There are issues around children. There are issues around inheritance. And this is one place where even in the more conservative states, I believe that it's possible to introduce laws that don't directly call it marriage, but do everything that we need as polyamorous people in a legal structure so that we're not left to the, I hate to use a pejorative term, but to the legal system and the legal vultures, there are great lawyers too, to fight over things when things go awry, and that's the problem. When things go right, there are still issues, but when things go wrong without a good, strong legal framework, it becomes a hell for those that are involved.
I found that people that want to do that have to go to court to do all those things anyway, and it can be quite difficult also.
It can be difficult, but in the case of a marital union, you can do things like have a prenuptial agreement or a union agreement that's enforceable. If you're not married, you can have a cohabitation agreement, but it still doesn't address a real legal framework for what to do about some of the thornier issues. And it doesn't really define the union in a way that people would like. For example, sharing insurance, all that's becoming more common, and especially things like sharing medical coverage. So I see it as a general issue with society that non-traditional unions, be they gay, polyamorous, bisexual, polyamorous, it would be nice if we had a well-defined legal framework, and that's one of the things that we as activists could do, is we could propose what I would call model legislation that could cover things like polyamory without getting into the issue of bigamy, what that means to have marriage with multiple partners, and into the semantic loadings and the words that cause the religious right and those that oppose, those of us that consider ourselves social radicals, so much grief. So that's the way I would do it, but I'm just one person.
Another big issue facing the queer community as a whole in all of our different little segments is the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military. And a lot of things aren't recognized in both the first question and in this issue, is that these issues transcend beyond the bedroom. And a lot of people say, well, you could get that through the legal avenues. You can prescribe who you leave your estate to. You can do this. But when you have people facing discrimination, when one person can see another person hugging their partner coming home from the military, and this other person cannot have a welcome, when you see people getting their heads bashed in because the way they identify, these are some serious issues that need to be brought out into the public's knowledge. And I just kind of wanted to touch base on that as well and get some input from you guys.
Wow. Definitely a touchy issue, having a partner that's former military. these people count on these people in an intimate way, and I believe that's part of their fear about gays in the military because they are so close. But not that I in any way believe in this policy, because I do believe that we should accept and acknowledge all groups. Such an explosive issue because, yes, you don't want to see discrimination to the point where somebody's getting hurt. Scary.
And one would think, given the history of gayness in the military, especially when you look at the history of the BDSM community and the history of the modern swinging community, both coming out of World War II very strongly, you'd think people would get the point that men and women are willing to die for their country, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of sexual practice, that society could kind of look the other way, even if they disagree with it on moral basis, and accept us for who we are. But that's such a difficult order. There's just so much hatred out there, and it seems like humanity. I work for a company that's commonly hated by people, and you wouldn't believe what I get. I just work for a company. They don't kill people. You may disagree with their business tactics or what the company does business-wise, but for crying out loud, I get treated like I'm the guy from that company. You work for that company. So I see it every day in something as innocuous as that, let alone sexual orientation. So there's something in the human being that I'm afraid that we all have to look at about ourselves. It's not just in other people. I believe it's in ourselves, too. Even in those of us in the alternative community, there's still a lot of resentment and hatred. Let me give you an example, and this will make me very unpopular. I'm not particularly a fan of President Bush, but I don't think I'd make it a career bashing a particular man for his particular politics. It's just my way. It's just, I don't see that that necessarily does us any good. I think it's all it does is further polarize people, as much as I disagree with the man as anyone in this room. I just am not sure whether that's really the right way to do things, but I could be wrong. It took Stonewall to bring gay rights to the forefront. It took an uprising to create a forward in rights.
Well, one thing that I heard in the conference today that, you know, I went to one of the sections that was Ask the Experts, and we had Fritz Klein and quite a few other sociologists and psychologists. And basically one of the things that came up in the discussion was that youth at colleges all over the country are practicing very alternative behaviors at a very young age. And so we're going to see these people becoming the next wave of leadership.
And what an incredible thing we might see.
Yeah,
a group that embraces diversity. Oh, I mean, I could see America at our best.
Yeah.
In closing that topic in my round, probably, I think my time is about running
out.
I wanted to just ask that group, the young group that's going to become our next leadership, to keep in mind that when you're asking people to lie about their identity who are going out and representing our country, and other countries are looking at us, what does that say when we tell our soldiers not to be who they are? Is that a good representation of who we are as a country? I don't think so.
With that note, can we go to some music?
We sure can. I've got Robin Renee coming up with I'm Coming Down. And you're listening to it on Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston. This is After Hours, and we are live in San Diego with the North American Conference on Bisexuality. We'll be right back.
I was trying to break.
Robin Renee, I'm Coming Down, from her CD All Six Senses. And you're listening to it right here on Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, and 89.5 in Galveston. We are with the 14th Annual North American Conference on Bisexuality, live in San Diego. Gigi?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, who have we got?
Now we've got...
I'm Marshall.
Marshall, and Deanna, and
Charlotte
again. Before we go to them in our next topic, I did want to say that we've got some excellent talents here at the conference. We had Magdalene Sui.
Yes, I've been playing her music for a couple of years now.
Oh, great. And then, of course, we've got Scott Friedman.
Hi, Scott.
Rob Yeager, a comedian. Oh, he was good. He was good.
And our speakerphone seems to be acting up. Your voice keeps fading in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I don't know if it's... I think it's the speakerphone. It's kind of funky. But anyway, our next topic...
Marshall, tell
Marshall.
We're going to discuss building sex-positive community centers. I'm a member of the board of directors of Seattle Sex Positive Community Center. We also call it the WESPOT. The Sex Positive Community Center in Seattle was formed 4 years ago by six radicals, social radicals. The problem was they were from the BDSM community, and the BDSM people could not find a safe place where they could play, certainly not have play and also have sex. There was a place called the Catwalk that got shut down by the police because there was alcohol in the other room. And then there was a place called the Beyond the Edge Cafe where people used the basement for play scenes. But because it was a restaurant, they had to obey the rules and you had to wear pasties and no sex was allowed. So this group of radicals, their initial goal was to create a community-owned place where people could indulge in BDSM activity and not be bothered by the police and have a place where they could play and also have sex. Well, one of the radicals, Russell Burnell, who runs the sexuality.org website, I strongly recommend sexuality.org, thought that this was a unique opportunity to form a community center that didn't just serve the needs of the BDSM community, but serve the needs of all alternative communities, and perhaps in the future could serve the community at large. So what happened was this group started fundraising with Lena Gabosh, who's our executive director. She's pretty well known. She's been on the air many times, many national appearances. They started raising funds, and they got together enough money to rent a 4,400 square foot establishment in Seattle near the waterfront, a very fine space. They had enough money, so in spite of the problems, for example, they had a sewer problem that cost $8,000 to fix, they had enough money to fix it up because the community supported creating a safe space so much. We're fully licensed. We're 100% legal. We have a sex-positive mayor, Mayor Nichols. The police know we're there. The fire department knows we're there. We have all the licenses. We're properly zoned. We have a legal framework. We have a budget process. We're run by a 12-member board of directors that's elected by the membership. We have over 5,000 members of the organization. Now, obviously, the facility can't hold all 5,000. Party, the groundswell. The numbers that are out there that will support us, we only organize. We must organize. And with numbers comes what? Political clout. People have to start listening to our needs and our demands. So that's what we've done. The center has been there for 4 years. We have $120,000 in a building fund. We believe we need $1 million to take it to the next level and own our own space. We have parties virtually every night of the week or educational events. We have educational classes, and I love to point out one because it's the most incredible class I've ever been to. It's called Clitoral Revelation, and the women give it, and real live women display the internal parts of their genitalia for other women and for men. And I learned so much about the clitoral complex as it is, and not just a little part, that it revolutionized my sex life, I can't tell you. And that's the type of course that if we could teach it to the community at large, you don't have to be in alternative sexuality to enjoy your sex life better by understanding the physical makeup of your partner. So we see ourselves as a community that has a radical vision, and that's establishing community centers in every community. And I'm talking about Houston, fellow Texans.
That sounds a lot like shows I've done in the past called Community First. Bringing the community together, spending queer dollars on queer endeavors, and really coming together and building and supporting ourselves instead of buying from Walmart and giving money to the bad people that are against this. We put money back into our own communities.
But that means that the various different lifestyle, alternative lifestyle groups have to stop fighting between each other and start supporting each other. And that's a really immense thing that's happening at the Wet Spot. Is I'm starting to see people that I would never see in my normal everyday existence of the groups I hang around with. We have a group that brings all these groups together, and it's just an amazing process to see how alike they are.
When I went to the Leather Leadership Conference in Boston, the number one issue within the leather community, let alone all the alternative communities, was internal conflict. We all thought it would be, everyone would perceive it to be legal pressure, the religious rights, the so-called enemies. No, it wasn't. Everyone universally agreed that the number one issue we had was ourselves. Yeah. Or what is the old saying? We have met the enemy and it's us. We have to get along or else we will fail. I guarantee you. What is it Ben Franklin said? We either hang together or we hang separately. It's really true. And one of the things about the SPCC is we've managed to pull it off. We really have. We're a very good business structure. And people like me on the board, I consider myself to be a peacemaker. And I'll make peace between people because I believe that's the only way we'll succeed. And our representation is pretty broad. I'll have to say I wish we had more African-Americans that come to our facility, and right now we don't. But in terms of sexual diversity, it's really pretty amazing.
We've got another panelist here that just stepped in. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Kelly Bryson, and I wanted to jump in at this point because I heard you talking about something very dear to my heart and one of the primary functions of my life, which is I teach something called nonviolent compassionate communication skills. And what our organization is about, we're an international organization. We have centers in 37 countries, and what we do is we support organizations that are trying to end oppression. And part of the way we support them is by giving them certain kinds of communication skills so that they can let go of their enemy images, so that they're not in conflict with other groups and even among themselves.
That's a big
just to build a strength and a harmony within each other so they can gain spiritual and political power just within their own groups. I wanted to mention that part.
I'd like to interject here. I've been to all kinds of parties in my life. We all have. The safest parties I felt safe at are the ones in sex-safe space, because you generally have a social area where you can hang for a while and get comfortable. When you move beyond that, there are monitors making sure nothing is going down that you don't want to go down, and there's people to check in with. And I think that is some of the best fun, safe experiences you can have in those kind of spaces. It's not what people perceive in their mind generally as being a sex-positive space.
Hold on one sec. I need to jump in here real quick and let the listeners know that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, heard here on Pacifica Radio for Houston, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and on the web at kpft.org. We're listening to a special Binet edition on this week's show, the 14th annual National North American Bisexual Conference, live from San Diego. We have Gigi and a panel of speakers from the conference there. So I'm going to turn it back to San Diego now.
Oh, okay, great. We're just about to the time where we need to wrap up this segment.
I'd like to say one last thing. I don't believe that it's hopeless outreaching to the community at large. You just have to use your imagination. One of the things I wish I was responsible for, but I'm not, is a group of people within the SPCC decided to do an erotic arts festival. Some of us were frankly skeptical. I wasn't sure of it. It was such a smash last year. We had lines around the block. And this wasn't people that come to our facility. This was not people from the swinging community, the polyamory community, the BDSM community. This was suburban America coming to look at erotic art created by our community. Next year, we've quintupled the space. We have people submitting art from literally all over the world and people flying in from other cities. This is community outreach. That's how you do it. You don't do it by preaching. You do it by example. You do it by, and we believe in that. We believe that the best way to be a radical and succeed is by example, by creating experiential space, as you say, safe space, where people can come and see what is this all about. Maybe it isn't for them, maybe it is, whatever particular group is there, but that's what we believe. And I'm very proud of what we're doing in Seattle, and I hope all of you can learn a little from us and maybe get in touch with us, www.wetspot.org. www.wetspot.org, and we'll love to help you organize your own community center in your own area.
Okay. Well, thank you each of y'all for being here, and why don't we go to some music, and we will be back with a special two guests, which we rarely get together, Lorraine Hutchins and Lonnie Kamani.
Okay, and Gigi, thank you. We're going to pull you down here in the background, and we're going to play Magdalene Shuli, and let's go to that piece of music now.
Story about a girl I know real well.
Yes, that is Magdalene Shuli from the CD Fire, and that song was called As I Am, and you're hearing it here on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. This is a special Bi-Net segment we are doing, coming live from San Diego at the 14th Annual North American Bisexual Conference. We've got Gigi on the line. You're there, Gigi?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay.
We have Lorraine Hutchins and Lonnie Kamane, who are going to talk about some projects they're working on, and it's really exciting. I mean, I am just so psyched with what's going on. So I just want to turn it over to both of y'all.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm glad to be here at the Bisexual Conference and be able to talk to you about the conference and what I'm doing. This is Lonnie. And
hey, Lonnie.
Hi.
This is Chris. Jimmy had to step out for a moment.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, everybody on the air.
step in here.
We're excited because we're surrounded by bisexuals.
Nice.
In this hotel, and bisexual and friends of bisexuals, and we said we would talk a little about our writing, but really that's about our living and what we care about and anything that connects, right?
Yeah.
Well, one thing, since you were touching on the fact you're surrounded by bisexuals, how large of a conference are we talking?
Oh, I don't know. There's a few hundred people here.
I would say several hundred, at least, probably around
500.
At least 500, I would say.
I'll tell you, the energy is soaring, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had great bands. We've had great workshops. I got to wear a dildo on my knee with a little knee.
Oh, a thigh harness?
Thigh harness. And it was a hoot. And we'll be having that guest in a little later to talk.
Great. There were also pre-conference institutes. One was the Bisexual People of Color, which was one of the historical events that happened here. There was 30 bisexuals who, and you might hear some background noise because the People of Color suite is right across the hall and they're going to start a party, actually. But it was really moving. There were people there that had been longtime activists, and there were people who had never been to a bisexual event and did not know one bisexual in their life.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking of one person who came all the way from Tennessee. And he didn't use his real name. And his best friend is straight, and it's the only person he's out to. And he said, my life was boring, and I needed a change. I saw this on the internet, and I decided to change my life and come. And he's walking around with big eyes and a big smile. And he's actually connecting with people from Tennessee here.
Oh, cool.
So that's really, really cool. So that's part of what keeps me going, mm-hmm. is just seeing people come out and know that it's okay to come out and that you feel better when you come out.
And I've got a slightly related story. I got a call from Luigi, and he said, I've got this woman from Lubbock, Texas that just called me and wants a ride up to the conference. So I said, okay, well, get her in touch with me. And he said, I gave her your number. I hope that's okay already. So I said, oh, you know me. I'm totally cool with it. About half an hour later, she calls, and she said, well, I'm in Lubbock, and where are you? She thought I was in Dallas. Well, Lubbock's 12 hours drive from Houston. So anyway, she said, well, I can fly to Austin, and we can, if you can pick me there, up there on your road out to San Diego. So we worked it out, and I picked her up at the airport and brought her out here. And she knows nobody by in Lubbock.
Wow.
And, I mean, she's running around here like she has found a whole new world. And she, tonight, she even bought a strap-on. And is wearing it under her dress.
I felt it.
Just having the time of her life. But those are the wonderful stories that happen up here at the conference. It's just amazing because all of a sudden people that have been living in isolation and alone and thinking, oh, I'm the only one that has these feelings. And then they come to here and it's like, wow. And she keeps coming up to me and going, wow, I can't believe there's people like this.
The man from Tennessee was saying, he goes, I feel like I don't know how to act, and then I realize I can just be myself. I can do anything I want because at home I can't be all of who I am. And he goes, I'm walking around realizing I can be all of who I am.
Mm-hmm. That's so liberating and so wonderful. I know both of y'all are working on projects. I kind of wanted to get a little bit... I know, Lonnie, you're working on the...
Actually, I'm working on two projects. One was not enough. one is my activist memoirs called My Grassroots Are Showing Stories, Speeches, and Special Affections. And it's my activist career, which spans more than my bisexual activist career. So it really starts back in the 60s when I was a housewife. But that's only like 5% of the book. It just kind of builds up to when I was a lesbian for 4 years, and then I came out as bisexual in 1980, and it sort of tracks my activism and the bisexual movement all the way up till the early 21st century. God, hearing that. But then the other book is a poetry prose book that's called Passing for Other Primal Creams and Forbidden Dreams, and it's my poetry that's been published, unpublished, and new work. And I'm excited about both of them, but right now I'm in the middle of it, the thick of it, thinking, what have I done? Hopefully it's going to be done within a year, and I'll be getting it to a publisher. And then we can all look forward to you reading it to everybody. So I'm excited about that.
And Lonnie, how would we find out about your book?
Oh, what a great question, Lorraine. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
We didn't even plan that. I have a website, www.lonniekaahumanu.com, and I'll spell Lonnie Kaahumanu. It's LanniKaahumanu.com. So either that or if you have the book by any other name, which Lorraine and I did, both our names are on that, so our websites are our names. So that's an easy way. Buy our book if you don't have it, and then go to our websites to find out about our projects. But Lorraine, why don't you talk about your projects?
Well, a couple years ago, I went back to school after I turned 50 and got my PhD in queer feminist sacred sexuality, or otherwise known as spirituality and sexuality intersections from a cultural studies point of view. And my dissertation is called Erotic Rites, a cultural analysis of contemporary U.S.
sacred sexuality, traditions, and trends. And in fact, I appeared on this very radio station talking about that a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And will again, I'm sure. So what I've been doing is thinking about how does one morph a dissertation into a popular book. And
how do we do that, Dr. Hutchins?
With magical spells in the dark of night and lots of drumming and self-pleasuring helps too.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So the working title right now for the morphed book is Harlots and Healers. And that's because I found that a lot of the people who are connecting their spirituality and their sexuality do it by working from a sexual healing point of view, and the noise you hear in the background is all the people partying in this hotel. That's all right. We just...
Well, we expect a party whenever Gigi's are in the room.
I know. So the thing about harlots and healers is there's a connection between sex work and feeling better and feeling more connected with one's health and one's spirituality and one's genitals and one's intimacy with others. And that's a little nutshell. I also want to say one more thing, not about something I'm writing, but about something I'm involved in, because I think it connects to everything we're talking about here. It's like the next step after bisexual organizing, or at the same time as bisexual organizing, because that's what bisexuals do, is coalitioning between different kinds of groups. And I think Marshall was talking about this a little earlier, and that's a conference that I'm helping put on in Seattle in October 17th through 19th. And it's called Building Bridges because it's about building bridges between the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, the BDSM community, the polyamory community, and swingers. Now think about it. Think about putting swingers in the same room with queer people and then, you know, the leather and the poly people. And some people are all of those, including Carol Queen is all of those, and she's going to be the keynote speaker in Seattle. But I just want to tell people, if you can get to Seattle, it's October 17th through 19th, and there's going to be a party that night at the Wet Spot, which is the community center that he just mentioned a couple minutes ago on the air. And the way to find out about the conference is to go to the website lovethatworks.org, or is it .com? It's one or the other. It's .org, lovethatworks.org. So that's in Seattle in October.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a lot of stuff is happening in Seattle right now.
Oh, and I'm going to be doing a workshop there on sacred intimates and sex coaches with an amazing woman named Alex Jade, who's one of the women teachers at Body Electric Erotic Massage School.
Oh, cool. We're kind of to a point where we need to go to music again.
Okay.
And then we'll be coming back.
All right, we are going.
Oh, and thanks both of y'all for being here. It has been great.
This has been a wild, exciting thing coming in from San Diego.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's been wild. We haven't even been telling any. I don't kiss and tell, baby.
Gigi, you talked about that woman from Lubbock.
Gigi, when do you?
I haven't had sex with her yet, or.
Gigi, when do you?
Tap it on and tell.
When do you stop it? Kissing.
I didn't give any name. But you know Miss Gigi. She's been spreading her legs up here, baby.
Well, I think he went off the air, but it's hard to tell. Are you there?
No, we're still here. I've
Oh no, they like the camp. So
no.
Anyway, why don't we go to music and then we'll be right back.
All right, well,
aloha.
Pull you down. And we're going to go now to Scott Friedman with his song. Unfortunately, I have to count here. Was this Walking in Memphis?
Until That Time.
Until That Time. I'm sorry, I can't count at this time of the morning. We'll be back in a moment.
Well, I know that you're hurting, and I know that you're crying, but I also know that you've got more strength than you think you do. And I know that you're lonely, and I know you love, you're not the only one. But soon again, my friend, you'll find your way back to the sun. And until that time, I'll be the hand for you to hold. And until that time, feel free to cry on my shoulder. You'll be alright. Life's not always fair that way. Doesn't give a damn what you say. As the world moves on, I don't know that he was the first. I don't know that you know he won't be the last. It's all a matter of time. Times in a day, in a week, in a year, and your pain is past. And until that time, I'll be the hand. You'll be all right. Well, I know that it's 3 a.m. and I got a good guess that's you calling. Well, I don't need my sleep if it means I'll keep you some company.
Yes, that was Scott Friedman from his CD Some Company, and the tune was Until That Time. That guy's hot. Now you can repeat it again with the microphone on.
That guy is hot.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy's not getting back.
Cover all the time.
Yeah, Jimmy's not getting the cover back to his CD. you can take the front half, I'll take the back half.
There you go.
You are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston and 89.5 Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. If you're calling in expecting, if you're listening in expecting to hear Hatch, they will be on in two weeks. I'll be on some other time here. So this is the special Binet edition that we are doing with Gigi coming to us live and direct, as only Gigi can, from San Diego and the 14th annual North American Bisexual Conference. And Gigi, are you there?
Yes, we are here. Alan and I just arrived.
Ah. We love when people come on schedule.
At least come on.
Basically, we have been having really a great time at this conference. There's been all kinds of tracks and information. And I went to one workshop this afternoon. It was on triple X sex play. And our next guest was the leader of this. And I'd like you to introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Corinne Garcia, and my friends call me Ricky.
and I am the facilitator and creator of the Triple X Sex Workshop.
Hello.
Ah, and what do you do in this workshop?
Well, it's a workshop that I created to talk about making love versus fucking, the art of fist fucking, anal erotica, masturbation, and vibrator play.
That's a tall order. That's right up my alley.
And it's all in that order.
Oh, yes. Well, can you go through a little bit what some of these concepts mean? Lovemaking versus fucking?
Sure. Well, my whole spiel on making love versus fucking, or fucking versus making love.
Oh, I'm sorry, we got...
FTC!
Yeah.
The F word, or F, asterisk, yeah. Asterisk.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
We will.
Let me just cough here a couple of times, and let's continue on with our discussion then.
Sure. Making love versus doot-doot. Is that better?
A little better. I've trust me, when Gigi's around, they understand the concept. So
that's okay. Just... Yeah, she was freaky in my workshop. Well, that whole take is on communication and communicating with your partner of choice, whether you are in the mood for getting into the whole act of making love, or whether you're just in the mood to go out and just get it however you want it.
Rough and raunchy.
Yes. And trashy. Because we do trash.
How do you tell the difference?
Well, usually one is a little bit more spontaneous than the other.
Which is which?
I don't know. The latter.
I'm just playing with you.
I know you are. Wait, a little to the left, please.
Well, I got to tell you, this woman has some of the most incredible dildo collections. It is awesome. And strap-ons of all sorts.
Yeah, that whole portion of the workshop is to talk about how to buy a strap, how to buy a dildo for either vaginal or anal pleasure, because there is a difference, and part of the difference is that because dildos are manufactured in a way where sometimes they have a metal rod in the middle, those types of dildos are just not good for vaginal play. You could really beat up a cervix very bad.
Yeah.
And they're just geared towards anal pleasure. So I talk about those types of differences because I had to learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also know that you pulled out a particularly fun little doll, puppet doll, a couple of them. There's a vulva doll and a penis doll.
Oh, yes.
And she gave some excellent demonstrations. On one of them, she fisted it.
Yes. I talk about the art of fist pleasure because the reality is that that is a topic that people don't really discuss, and usually in the process of exploring fisting, people kind of just fall into it. That can be a little dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
What would be some of the safety tips for someone wanting to get into it?
Well, definitely no acrylic nails.
Oh, no. Ooh, very scary.
Make sure you clip and snip your nails really nice and cut them down so that you don't have any sharp edges. I usually keep no nails whatsoever.
I noticed.
Did it feel good? And I always talk about using a glove because it's always good. You know, you always have paper cuts or something going on with your hands, and that is an avenue for some kind of body fluids to be exchanged. So I talk about lubrication, and I always say, you know, lube, lube, lube.
Can't use too much.
Nope. So you always want to use a water-based lubricant with mm-hmm. with your
latex gloves or whatever kind of gloves. Talk about latex gloves and polyurethane gloves because some people have an allergy to latex. Just giving people some tips on how to have a good time in there and celebrate the cervix.
And this is really a wonderful workshop because she got several volunteers up on stage, including moi, and had us outfit each other with strap-ons and collars and all kinds of erotic wear over our clothing, of course. And then we started humping each other with dildos.
Yes, we did. And we were doing the Soul Train line.
Yes.
Had them lined up. Boy, girl, boy, girl. Girl, boy, girl, boy. And on and on.
And so I think we all learned so much about how to play anally in a very safe way, in a very consensual way. She talked a little bit about negotiations, and I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more on how do you work with your partner when you start playing with this thing or with dildos and either the anus or in the...
Yeah. I always think that a good first date would be a trip to the local sex store.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good icebreaker to be able to open up the conversation. It can be an environment that is safe because everybody has their clothes on, and you can walk through and look at the different array of items in your local sex store and be able to talk about those items. In getting to know your partner, one of the ways is to kind of pick out, what do you think about that? Have you ever tried this? And that gives it a safe space to be able to talk about those places where the person doesn't feel threatened because everybody has their clothes on, nobody's having sex. It's just a place where you can kind of talk. And then, you know, go from there and go have coffee and talk a little bit about what you just saw, what you might want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked a little bit about spanking because a lot of times that comes into the play.
Yeah. And we're coming pretty close to the end of this segment. Is there anything that you feel that people you'd like to share to kind of bring this all together, a little bit of cohesion to all this work? Wonderful, beautiful work you do.
Well, I always say, you know, wherever you're going to start, if it's from the top or the bottom, just make sure you don't miss anything in between. And,
yes.
And when you're playing, always, you know, I like it nice and clean, maybe 2 hours out of the shower, you know. And I talked, and I did, and something we didn't talk about, but I always talk about anal douching. I think that's an important part to make sure that, you know, all of the back washes out because, you know, we want to make the back door safe as we can. And lube, lube, lube.
Well, I sure appreciate you joining us. It's been really great.
Thank you for having me, Gigi.
I was so happy to be in your workshop. And she had everybody rolling on the ground the way she was playing with everybody and lining everybody up into this long gangbang thing. It was incredible. So anyway, thanks for joining us, and why don't we go to another piece of music, and then we'll be back with Wayne Bryant for Bi Characters in Film.
Okay, and we've got the next one queued up here. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. We'll be back in a moment.
And here's the song from the Blue Angel. Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it. Love's always been my game. Play it how I may.